It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-2. Take game one of this first round matchup between two hockey clubs. Game two goes Tuesday, 8 p.m. right here inside T-Mobile Arena as the Golden Knights look to make it a 2-0 lead before the series shifts to Minnesota for games three and four. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this performance tonight from the Vegas Golden Knights, I think we'll start with Pavel Dorofeev, who I know he got the power play goal, and it was an absolute rocket, just a great shot. But beyond the scoring play for Pavel Dorofeev, I thought he was an offensive driver all game long.
Yeah, there's something to be said for the growth of Pavel as a man, physically, the awareness, what it means to compete at this level. And while he has had his cups of coffee with the Golden Knights the previous couple of years, and yeah, I mean, he played 47 games in 2023-2024, but, you know, essentially he was an extra piece come playoff time. Knights were stacked, and he didn't play a lot in the one game he did appear in, 7 minutes and 11 seconds in game five, which was a 3-2 loss. Like I said earlier, what a difference a year makes. I mean, he's just grown up in, you know, right before our eyes. I mean, he's 24 years old. He'll turn 25 in October. And that's about the time where you expect a player to take that next step. Then, you know, the confidence that comes from having scored 35 goals, yeah, not to mention 13 on the power play in the regular season. And he knows, and he's a smart guy. I mean, he's soft-spoken. When we chat with him for our pregame interviews, the translation from Russian to English, still working on that. But even aside from that, he's just, you know, trying to become more and more comfortable. But when the play on the ice has been as consistent and effective as it has been, it's not surprising, Ryan, to me anyhow, you tell me what you think, that it would translate right away. I mean, there was no warming up period here.
No, he dove right in and was really solid all night long for the Golden Knights. I wonder about coming into the postseason. We were going back and forth. Does Barbashev start with Waugh and Kolesar? Brett Howden start with Eichel and Stone? And obviously Bruce Cassidy went with Howden alongside Waugh and Kolesar. It's a two-goal night for Brett Howden. And when you think about the depth for the Golden Knights going into this series, that's an aspect of it for me where I think the Golden Knights have the edge over the Minnesota Wild. And it kind of bears out, at least in the first game anyway, with Brett Howden and a two-goal performance.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, Nicholas Waugh makes an impressive play to set up Brett. There were chances elsewhere, too. You know, Kolesar seems to be doing everything right except actually scoring, yeah, with the opportunities he's generating for himself and for his line mates. So I think that from what I saw today, I wouldn't tweak the forward combinations. Mm-hmm. I think that there were dangerous opportunities for each of them. And, hey, you know, when Kaprizov's on the ice, you know that that line is going to be a threat. So, sure, you look at the guys who are like Riley Smith, who was minus two, but I'm not sure that that's any sort of, you know, really cause for concern there. So I thought that the decision to put Barbashev with Eichel and Stone as much as anything was, you know, the old chemistry. That's where they had won a championship together. Plus, you also consider at the beginning of this season, those guys were as hot as any line in hockey for a good month plus. So why not, with a fresh slate, put them back together and see if they can kind of get back in there. And as Bruce Cassidy told us on the pregame show, in a postseason series, sometimes the top players may cancel each other out depending on matchups. So we'll see how things go along. Obviously, the Knights have the luxury of the change here at home, and it'll be the same for John Hines in Minnesota for games three and four. But what did you think, Ryan? I'd go with the same combination of forwards in game two.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch anything up front. To your point, I think every line had moments in this game. I loved the hurdle line. I thought they were really good. Nick Waugh, especially in the third period, there was a shift from him late in the game where he just kind of took over, created at least two or three chances. I wouldn't touch that. I liked Olofsson's game alongside Carlson and Smith. And, you know, Jack Eichel and Mark Stone and Ivan Barbashev, they're going to create chances. So I'm not too concerned about that moving forward. Now, I do wonder when you look at the Golden Knights on defense specifically, we saw different combinations throughout the game. Is there one you think the Golden Knights are going to land on as you go into either the second game or deeper into the series?
Well, it seems to me that they're content adjusting within a game. And, you know, what we saw in practice and in warm-ups and what, you know, we sort of scribbled down on our lineup card would be 3-27, McNabb and Theodore, 14-7, Hagan, Petrangelo, 15-2, Hanifin and Whitecloud. Yet, throughout the contest today, Hanifin and Petrangelo spend time together. Hagan and Whitecloud spend time together. McNabb and Theodore, they seem to be inseparable, so they stay together. And I wonder if that's situational, if that's, you know, we will ask Bruce about it. It's possible somebody asks him about it in the postgame press conference. If not, we'll ask him about it going into game two. And I think that there is something to be said for causing chaos for the other team's coaching staff, other team's players. If I'm supposed to do this, he's going to defend that and so on. And you're just making them, think twice before they do whatever they do. And these guys on the Knights blue line, so many of them have had success playing with each other. There's no concern there. So to me, the way that they've been practicing is the way you would probably go more often over the long haul. But again, I think that it actually behooves the Knights if, you know, for stretches of time, they change things up a little bit.
All right, Dan, any final thoughts on this game before we turn our attention to game two, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. against Minnesota?
Well, I would just say that to have a playoff crowd back here at T-Mobile Arena was pretty neat. It's 82 regular season games, and fans here at the Fortress are great throughout the regular season, but there's that next level for the postseason. It was great to hear that today, and I'm looking forward to hearing it just as loud, if not louder, come Tuesday in game two.
All right, Dan, happy Easter to you. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Tuesday.
Thanks, Ryan. Have a good one.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 4-2 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the Minnesota Wild in Game 1, Round 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs. Golden Knights, a 1-0 series lead, looking to make it 2 on Tuesday against Minnesota. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-2. Vegas, 1-0 series lead, looking into game number two, Tuesday, 8 p.m. against the Minnesota Wild here inside T-Mobile Arena. The Golden Knights would love to take a 2-0 series lead. Postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights, fully healthy. It's the Vegas Golden Knights coming into tonight's matchup with Minnesota. They are as healthy as they've been all season long, and so you had opportunity for Bruce Cassidy to kind of put his ideal lineup on the ice in a game, a playoff game with implications. And so we got Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone. Saad Hurdle, Dorofeev. Olofsson playing his first career NHL playoff game. Huge moment for Victor Olofsson alongside William Karlsson and Riley Smith. And then your fourth line's Brett Howden, 23-goal scorer Brett Howden, 15-goal scorer Nick Waugh, 12-goal scorer Keegan Kolesar. And that's going to be one of the main storylines for us going through this series. And, Dan Duva just talked about it. It's important. It's worth continuing to kind of pull on this thread. But the stars are going to cancel each other out. Like, you would expect that when all is said and done, series is over, you're going to expect that Jack Eichel and Kirill Kaprizov will be around similar in terms of production, in terms of numbers. Where you win and lose series, it really does come down to your depth. And when you get a 2-goal performance tonight from Brett Howden, I know Tomáš Hertl's not a depth player, but Pavel Dorofeev, just his second ever playoff game, he comes through with a big power play goal. you're perfect on the power play. Like, those are aspects of the game that the Golden Knights, in my estimation, coming into this series, hold the edge over the Minnesota Wild, and it was nice to see those aspects come to play. Again, there was a shift from Nick Waugh late in the third period where he picked up the puck in the neutral zone, he got it deep, he made plays, and he kept Minnesota guessing to the point where the Golden Knights had a couple of really good scoring chances, nearly extended their lead in that moment. I just loved Waugh's game. I really did. I loved Howden alongside Waugh and Kolesar. There was a physical element to the Golden Knights tonight as well, so that's important. Let's hear from Bruce Cassidy as he addresses the media.
For Tomáš, in a game like this that's so tight checking, it's hard to find ice, is that the kind of game that you feel like your style of hockey thrives in?
Yeah, I think so. I always like the playoff. You know, obviously last year was kind of different for me coming to the new team and not fully healthy, but you know, I'm long time excited for this moment, and I always try play my game, and I think it's kind of a playoff style, and I'm happy I could help, you know, with the team today with that, but you know, it's just always all team effort.
For Nick, what do you think you guys did well defensively, especially like deep in your zone today?
I think for the most part, we always do a good job keeping them to the outside. So a lot of shots were coming from the point, and we did a good job with the block shots and the high danger shots from the slot. There was a couple, obviously, but not too many. So I think that's the best part we did for sure.
Chris.
Tomáš, we talked yesterday about maybe a young guy in his first real playoff experience. So you were there once, and for Pavel to get that goal early, especially on the power play, just how much pressure is lifted off of his shoulders now that he's gotten that out of the way?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a different style of hockey, but I think Pav is such a smart player, and I think he has a really good game, you know, and obviously, you know, the power play working all season for us, and it was a big goal. Theo make a great play, but, you know, it's not easy to finish, and he's just doing all season long, and definitely a big goal, and he got a couple of other great looks, and he has to just play his game and don't think about it much, because when you overthinking, like you try change your game or something, it never works. You have to just kind of stay a little looser.
Alan.
Hi, guys. Was there a concerted effort to be a little more physical in game one to set the tone? And can you talk a little about the team's ability to kind of be very flexible in its style of play?
Yeah, obviously, I think they were pretty physical today, but you look at our team. I mean, we got a big team. We're not just gonna look for a number of hits. I think we're always gonna be a physical team. We're gonna win our battles. That's the most important thing. And yeah, I think the guys that have that in them to be physical are gonna be physical, and the guys that are gonna make plays are gonna make plays, and obviously raise their the intensity and winning their battles. So yeah, I mean, it's just the way we approach it.
That was Nick Waugh and Tomáš Hertl as they addressed the media after tonight's 4-2 win for the Vegas Golden Knights. Taking a look at the highlights in this game, we go back to the first period, and the Golden Knights got on the board first with just under 5 minutes to play as Tomáš Hertl stole a puck from Brock Faber before roofing one short side.
Petrangelo was shot left wing from the draw, knocked down. Hertl shoots and scores! Found the rebound! Bottom of the left circle! Upstairs on Gustafson from a very sharp angle! 4:38 to play, first period.
Tomáš Hertl from Alex Petrangelo and Brandon Saad, 15:22 of the first period, made it 1-0 Vegas, but the Wild answered back 2 minutes later as Kirill Kaprizov zipped a perfect pass to Matt Boldy.
It deflects in, Minnesota gets control, Kaprizov threw it left in a shot, score! Minnesota has tied it, Kaprizov threw it out to the left for Matt Boldy, and from below the left dot, Boldy makes it 1-1 with 2:18 to go in the first period.
Matt Boldy from Kirill Kaprizov and Ryan Hartman, 17:42 of the first period, tied the game at 1. So we'd head to the second, all knotted up. And the Golden Knights regained the lead 13 minutes into the second period when Pavel Dorofeev took advantage of the Golden Knights' first power play opportunity and wired his first career playoff goal.
Theodore right, Dorofeev scores! Wide open from the right circle! Power play goal, Dorofeev! The Knights have a 2-1 lead!
Pavel Dorofeev on the power play from Shea Theodore and Tomas Hertl, 13-33 the second period, made it 2-1 Vegas, and the Golden Knights were able to stay in lead thanks to a massive save from Aiden Hill.
Here's Kaprizov, dishing right, save Hill! Rebound goes behind, point blank stop for Aiden Hill! Best save for either side so far!
So the Vegas Golden Knights would have a one-goal lead going into the third period, and they did not sit back to start the third, as instead they extended their lead just 2 minutes in as Brett Howden went short side shelf on the rush.
Right to him. Howden shooting! He scores!
First of the postseason for Brad Howden from Nick Waugh and Noah Hanifin, 2:28 of the third period, made it 3-1 Vegas, but the Wild once again made it a one-goal game as Matt Boldy took advantage of a broken play to score his second of the game.
Kaprizov shoots safe. Rebound, a wraparound score! Behind the net was Boldy. Boldy took it behind the net and went inside the left post. Two goals for Boldy today, and it's a one-goal game with 8:14 to go in the third period.
Matt Boldy from Kirill Kaprizov, 11:46 of the third period, made it 3-2 Vegas, and the Golden Knights did a good job defending a 6-on-5 attack and eventually iced the game on Brett Howden's empty net power play goal.
Foligno sends it deep, 6 seconds. Near side, fight for the puck along the boards. Taken by the Knights, sent down at the horn, into the goal! At the horn for Brett Howden! Vegas takes game one!
Second of the game for Brett Howden, an empty netter on the power play, 19:59 of the third period, made it 4-2 Vegas, and all that was left was the final call.
Seventh and eighth playoff goals in playoff game 33. Vegas 4, Minnesota 2, a 1-0 series lead for Vegas in the first round.
4-2 the final, the Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild to take game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Leeds Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Output. So I thought he did some other things well. Took the puck to the net, 5-on-5. Well, their line was good. The Satter had a breakaway chance, Hertl scores. Probably our best line offensively, right? So that's the beauty of our team. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily Jack's or Carly's line's been hot. And even Nick Waugh's line, I thought, had a real good night, score the game winner. So I know I'm getting away from Pav, but, you know, it was big for us.
Tomas Hertl's defensive game, I think, maybe gets overlooked because he's such a good offensive player, but he makes a big defensive play, picks the puck away. I think it was from Faber, and then he puts it up on the near side to beat Gustafsson for his first goal. So why is his defensive game maybe not talked about as much as it should be?
Well, that's a good question. I think because we're probably talking about Carlson and Eichel's defensive game a little bit more. Even Nick Waugh is a fourth-line center. That's their big part of their identity. So he gets lost in the shuffle there. I think it's as simple as that. I think earlier in the year there was some adjustment to how we play. Our centermen are, I've said this many times, there's a little more responsibility or maybe different responsibility, and he's picked it up very well. And I mean, we put him out there against anybody. We have certain face-offs where we start, matchups we like to use. He's good on the dot on his strong side. If it was Eriksson X line that was up and he was up, fine, go have at it. If it was at a right dot, we use someone else. But so no issues there. And that's big on the road in the playoffs. When you don't control those things, you got to be comfortable. You can't just keep rolling out the same guys. A, because there's fatigue, and B, because you lose the other guys if they're constantly getting skipped.
Paul, Ken, Jesse.
Bruce, Paul de los Santos, NHL.com. Brett Howden has been asked to do, whether it's play center or wing. You know, we've talked about it a lot this season, but how important is it to get him consistently going this postseason, especially after the season he just had?
Yeah, it was interesting. We knew he might land there, and Barbie was playing well with Nick and Coley too, so he might have been up there with Jack, and we talked to him about that. Don't change your game. It might be a little more straightforward with Nick and Coley, and don't they score on the rush? So there you go. You never know. And he didn't change his game. Played physical. It's part of our penalty kill. He's always out at the end when the goalie's out, typically one of the six guys we use a lot. Because of his versatility, he can play wing, take draws as a centerman if there's an icing situation. So good for Howie. I mean, he's had a good year, right? Been real good for us all year and good again tonight.
Ken Bulkey, Sinman, Not Vegas all week. You've been using Haig and Pietrangelo together, line rushes, they were together. Why did it switch?
It's just a little something Johnny mentioned before the game, so he has a lot of input on that. And I think it was a little bit of a matchup that if we wanted to make sure we had or suppose, you know, I'll label them top four out there against the Eriksson Ek line, then you put Hanny and Petro together for that. So we'll see. We'll look at it. And I think anybody can handle, not anybody can handle it. Their line hurt us tonight, but we're comfortable with whoever ends up out there against them. We just got to be better than we were tonight. And if that makes any sense, you know, they're a line that can beat you. So we got to make it real tough on them. And at times we did, other times they made some plays. So we'll look at that. So we'll see how the pairs shake out on Tuesday. I don't know that we'll change them necessarily, but we'll do what's best.
Jesse, Willie, Danny.
Hi, Bruce. Jesse Granger at The Athletic. You've talked all year about building the offense from sustained offensive zone time and not just in transition. It seemed like Hurdle really fueled that tonight. How would you assess how the team fared in that aspect and how important was Hurdle to that?
I thought we were pretty good in it. I mean, usually you go back and look and certain things you'll think maybe went better or worse than others. So Hurdle will be a big driver of that because he's a big man that protects puck, and that's his game. He can make stuff happen off the rush for sure, but, I mean, he's hard to get the puck from once he gets cycling. And so his line, I would suspect, and Nick Waugh's line's very good at it because they protect the puck well, bigger bodies. I think Jack's line's good at it because Jack can separate himself. So I think we can get to that game. It's, are we going to recover the shots that go to the net? Or are we going to shoot enough? I thought at times tonight we didn't put enough pucks at the net to build that part of the game. Shots, recovery, get them scrambling around, then the east-west plays open up. So we'll look at that, but Hurdle's line should be very good at it because Pav is getting stronger and stronger on pucks. So, that would be a strength of Hurdle's for sure, no matter who he plays with.
Willie Ramirez for the Hockey News. Bruce, different times this season you've talked about the way that your teams have been able to adapt to different teams, playing heavy, playing physical, playing fast, up-tempo. Tonight it seemed like it was a mix of all of them in one game. Do you like that, or would you rather them be able to stick to one style, or are you pleased with the fact that they can do that within 60 minutes?
No, listen, we want to play with pace, too, and finesse. We have those players, but it can't be all that. You got to be able to adjust. A team like Minnesota doesn't give you a lot of odd man rushes. I thought we ended up opening it up a little. You get the lead. Their D were a little more aggressive pinching tonight than what we saw during the season for whatever reason. Sometimes if you're good on the walls, that can really open the rush game when you win those board battles when D are up and you have center support with speed, which we have. So we're okay with that game. It's actually tailor-made for us, I think, at times. And if that doesn't open up, then it's got to be a little more okay. Use the ice behind them and forecheck. So we're comfortable with both. I think that's why we're a good hockey team. I don't think you can sort of say if you take this part of the game away, they're done. I think there's parts of the game that every team looks at us, say, let's take that one away and make them beat us other ways, and I think we can do that. So I was pleased with the way it went for the most part. I don't think we gave them a lot of easy opportunities. Even their goals, we had numbers back, and they used a weak side on us in the first one, and even though we had numbers, they made a good play. The second one, I think we overcommitted, but we still had numbers. So pleased about the defensive part. I don't remember a lot of odd man rushes against because we mismanaged pucks. That's been a bugaboo of ours, so that was good. That's a playoff mentality. And our discipline was good. We took one penalty, and I thought we did a real good job on the kill. So I was pleased with our game, and if it opens up a bit, it's okay for us. I think we'll be fine that way.
Danny. Bruce, Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You said the other day that series don't start until after game one. 5-1 now in game ones in the last three postseasons. Is, even though first period probably a little bit wide open, did you like how things kind of shut down in the second one?
I didn't mind our game at all. Like game ones, you don't know. I told the guys this before the game. We used, this week, I guess, the two games this week to sort of rest. We had an uneven practice Wednesday for the guys that did play, Friday, because some guys played both Calgary and Vancouver, and so guys had played a full season. So we're trying to get the energy level for tonight up. And that affects a bit of your chemistry leading into the playoffs the last week. But I didn't feel like two games in 5 or 6 days would throw us off that much, but you don't know. And I think it showed up early on where we didn't break out the puck with a lot of pace early on, and then we get going, we start moving our feet and catch up to kind of playoff speed. They've been playing desperate hockey this week to get in, right, or solidify their position, so they're probably going to be a little ahead of us there. So, you know, I was hoping that wouldn't hurt us the first 10 minutes, and I don't think it did. I think we got to our game fairly quickly. We haven't started great here, but we usually get better as the game went on. I think that happened. So a lot of positives that way. So that part of it was good. And I thought we played to our identity for the most part, and I thought they did. They were physical. They had, what, 50 hits? You knew that was coming with some of their bigger bodies. They played behind us when there was no ice. You know, that's coming. They're disciplined, too. They don't take a lot of penalties. So I thought the game was kind of as advertised. We made more plays than them at the end in the offensive zone to secure the win, and I think you'll see a similar game on Tuesday. I don't think either team's going to try to get away from what they do well. That's too early in a series. That may happen later. I don't know, but I would expect more of the same.
Last one, Alan.
Bruce, the team's been constructed, obviously, to have a very deep roster, and I'm wondering, how does that influence the way you coach, and is there a way to try to grind down another team over the course of a best of seven?
Well, absolutely. You know, puck management, play behind them, finish checks, play through people. I loved our minutes tonight. I think, I don't know who our highest forward was, if Jack was, I knew he was 17-something, and I think Nick Waugh was close to 13, Riley 14, Howie 14, you know what I mean? If you get guys between 13 and 17, 18, you're using everybody, probably means there's not a lot of special teams as well. Some guys' minutes get shortened because of that. So, I mean, those are the types of games we're fine with. We will roll four lines. We will play any line against any line, given the circumstance. So, our team is built that way. I've always believed in having a fourth line that can be a factor in the game and an identity piece for you. And they were tonight, right? I mean, they scored the game-winning goal, too. So they have value, not only scoring, but how we're going to play the game. So I think our roster is perfect for that. And even on the back end, what was it? Hanny 22 and Hager 17. You know, even the D pairs, it wasn't like 10 minutes for one pair and 28 for another. Like that. That can affect you over a playoff series. I'm not saying it won't work. I'm not judging other people, but our formula, the minutes are closer together. I think it's our best path forward.
Thanks, Bruce.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Don't miss the official VGK pregame party presented by BetMGM for Game 2, Tuesday, April 22nd at Tom's Watch Bar inside New York, New York. Stop by on your way to the Fortress and get ready for the game with your fellow fans. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild 4-2. Vegas leads the series 1-0. And stay on top of the VGK chase for the Stanley Cup with the team's official mobile app available for Apple and Android devices. Throughout the playoffs, app users will have the opportunity to win tickets to select home games, so don't miss out. Download it today. For the Golden Knights, you look at this game, it really came down to their willingness to defend, especially in front of Aiden Hill. I thought Aiden Hill was excellent throughout the majority of this game. And then depth for the Vegas Golden Knights. Pavel Dorofeev on the power play. You come to expect that at this point, especially here in this game on that pass from Shea Theodore. But then it's Brett Howden kind of taking the game over in the third period, a nice goal in transition, and then ices it with the empty netter. And the Golden Knights have a 1-0 series lead going into Game 2 Tuesday, 8 p.m. against the Minnesota Wild. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Minnesota Wild, take game one of this opening round matchup. So one down, three to go for the Vegas Golden Knights game two, Tuesday, 8 p.m. right here inside T-Mobile Arena against Minnesota. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. If you're at the game, if you were in this atmosphere, I'd love to hear from you. Your key takeaways coming out of game one. Pretty simple, but I'm interested in them. For me, Pavel Dorofeev, he was excellent tonight. I think as this series wears on and we get deeper into it, not just the series, but the playoff run as a whole, if Dorofeev is able to do night in and night out what he did in this game tonight, he's going to be an absolute stud, not just in the postseason, but in various regular seasons to come. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was so good, driving play. I loved what I saw tonight out of Pavel Dorofeev. 702-876-1340 is the number. Your key takeaways, if you were at the game, want to hear from you. And did this game kind of live up to your expectations going into the series? That's another one that I'll throw out to you as well. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, game one went about exactly the way I would have expected to, frankly. I would have been surprised if it had gone some other direction, and it did go the right way. I will say that Pavel added another zero to that contract that Kelly and he are going to have to sign next year. And it's going to be one lucrative deal, I'm sure. So we'll hope for the best when that time comes. I thought one of the great goals that I've ever seen, certainly this year, was the one by Tomas Hertl.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing the way he not only won the faceoff, he fought to steal back the puck.
Yep.
And then he placed the puck in a position you literally couldn't even believe it went in. Wasn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent play from Tomas Hertl. He's no stranger to doing that in the postseason, but, I mean, you mentioned it. He wins the faceoff, then he's just stronger than Brock Faber, and the finesse and the finish, unbelievable.
Oh, it was one of the finest plays I've seen on a hockey rink in a long time. So congrats to you, Tomas, for making it happen. A question about the refereeing, as strange as this sounds, when a linesman has to leave the game, is there someone sitting in the stands that can replace him?
Not in the stands, but they do have replacements just available if in the event that something happened like it did today.
Okay. And does that person always just become an available person, like an e-bug, or does he rotate in and out of the actual rotation of, say, umpires, if you will, if I use another sport? Does that person ever get actual ice time other than that?
I think only in the event of an injury.
Okay. Because, you don't see it happen very often, and he did take quite a blow from Howden, but it turned out, I hope it'll turn out fine. One other thing, real quick, in that the team itself, I think, is prepared to win this thing in five or six, but probably five. And we have to be on the power play. If you're John Hines, the coach of Minnesota, you've got one message to your kids: stay out of the penalty box, because these guys will kill you if you don't. I think that's what's being conveyed here this evening.
Yeah, that's interesting one, Mike. Thanks for the call. I mean, Minnesota was only shorthanded twice in this game, so I don't know how much more you can kind of belabor the point to not take penalties. I just don't think they're going to get called. So we'll kind of see how it goes from here. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So first off, happy Easter to everybody who celebrates. I am very happy to be celebrating a victory win on Easter. And then wishing all the best for the linesman that got hurt. I don't know if Mike was just listening, watching the TV or what, but Dan did talk about it, that it was the linesman that came in to replace the one that got hurt is regularly a ref. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. It's somebody very aware of the rules.
You have to make sure you've got a replacement in there that's going to be able to do it justice, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complaint I feel like I make every year in the playoffs. If it's a penalty in October, it should be a penalty in April, May, June, just because I don't want to see it escalate and see players continue to push that line and push that line and push that line and then really hurt somebody. I don't want our players getting hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone else on the other team getting hurt. I don't want anybody getting suspended. I just wish that they would call penalties that are really clear penalties, but this is just hockey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, Stephanie, and thanks for the call. There were more than three penalties in this game. And I'm not just talking about from the Golden Knights perspective. I'm talking about from the Wild perspective. Like, there were certainly opportunity in this game for referees to call more than just the three penalties that they did call. And they chose not to. So if that's kind of the standard, I'm with you. You don't want to ever see anything escalate, but you might see that happen to a degree. If more penalties aren't assessed and players feel like they can get away with certain infractions, the deeper we go into this one. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stefan. Hey, Stefan, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
I'm good, buddy.
Good. Good. So I didn't get a chance to hear what Mike and Stephanie said, but I had a few takes. Overall, mm-hmm. I thought it was a great game in general. I think we started a little slow, but one of the things that I've always wondered about is I kind of feel like why is it that we force Jack Eichel to take so many faceoffs? I mean, he's not that great at it, and I kind of feel like we're forcing the issue at times with him. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're asking him to take him because he's the center on the line, right? Like, so for Jack, you're not necessarily asking Mark Stone to take faceoffs. You're not looking at Ivan Barbashev. Like, there are, other lines that you have constructed right now with Brett Howden and say, Nick Waugh, where you can kind of interchange those two center icemen and they can take draws. So on Jack's line, when his line is out there, you're asking him to take draws. And, that's an aspect of the game where, some nights it works, some nights it doesn't, and he's going to get better at it as time goes on. I don't put as much stock into faceoffs as other people do. They do impact the game, not to the largest degree. So I'm not too worried about it as we kind of move deeper, but expect Jack to get better as the playoffs go.
Okay, I can live with that. I just hope it doesn't bite us down the road, in a key moment or something like that, Another thing I was thinking about, too, today is we were severely out hit. And I'm wondering, we're a pretty big and heavy team. Why is it, do you think, that we're not hitting as much as it seemed like we always have?
So, two things. One, the Golden Knights had the puck more. So when you have the puck more, you don't have to hit, right? Because you're getting hit. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, I don't think the Golden Knights were lacking physicality in this game. While the numbers aren't there in terms of volume, the Golden Knights laid some big hits in this game. Zach Whitecloud had a couple of really big ones. Ivan Barbashev had a couple of big ones. Kolesar as well. The Golden Knights weren't running around out of position trying to make hits for the sake of making hits. They were making hockey plays, or they had the puck. That's why the numbers were skewed toward Minnesota.
Great answer. I like it, Ryan. That's mm-hmm. why I like listening to you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you so much, Stefan, for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Tony. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing real well tonight, especially after watching that game.
Nice.
What I really like is how
I think we've gotten back to something that we established in our first season, and that was having four lines. And I heard you talked about kind of like Kaprizov and Eichel kind of cancels each other out. I don't really disagree with that, but I also think that Minnesota and anybody else who plays us has to contend with matching up against all four lines and not just trying to take out the Eichel line. And what I think really makes it special about the four lines is how each one of those lines has one guy that kind of flies underneath the radar. Mm-hmm. And I think no more than Brendan Saad, the work that he does that allows Hurdle and Pavel to excel at what they're doing right now. I think at one point in time, there's going to be a flood of either assists or goals coming from Saad. But just the work he does of digging out pucks, the back checking, just getting in the mix and coming back on defense, I think he's really an unsung hero on our team right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, Tony. I thought Brandon Saad was really good in this game. That line, Saad, Hurdle, Dorofiev, probably from an offensive perspective, the best line for the Golden Knights. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and thank you for the call. For the Golden Knights, it's all about depth. Like, you're going to have nights where Jack Eichel carries the mail and he's excellent and, you know, he's got 2 or 3 points. You're going to have nights where that's Mark Stone, Ivan Barbashev, your top line. But what's beautiful about how the Golden Knights are constructed is that you don't always need that line to carry you through because you've got Howden playing on your fourth line. You've got Dorofiev scoring goals, not just on the power play, but creating offense 5-on-5. You have four lines you trust that you can put out against anybody, and you know they're going to be able to get the job done. And there aren't a lot of teams that fully trust all four of their lines the way that Bruce Cassidy trusts his four lines. And I think that's the strength of this Golden Knights team as we get deeper and deeper into the postseason. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We have lines open if you'd like to join us on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2 the final of the Golden Knights. Double up the Minnesota Wild. Take game one of this opening round matchup. Game two, Tuesday, 8 p.m. against Minnesota here inside T-Mobile Arena. Going back out of the phone lines, we bring in Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, my dude? It was a great game tonight. Great, great game. Mm-hmm. Hey, so after the game, Hurdle was gifted a turtle. And the joy on his face was just amazing, you know?
Yeah. Fun must be always.
I love this team, man. These guys are all – these guys, it is a big thing to them, and it shows, and it's really great, man.
Yeah, you're right on the money. I mean, Tomas Hurdle, he wants to play in the playoffs. He wants to be a difference maker in the postseason. And the best thing about Tomas Hurdle is that he loves to have fun. So when you can kind of combine those two things, big game atmosphere, big game moments, and you're having fun, I think that that's the best version of Tomas Hurdle. I thought he was excellent tonight.
Yes, sir. Everybody did a great job. Great job. And looking forward to the rest of the W's the rest of the way through, man.
All right. Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks so much for the call. Game ones can be unpredictable to a certain degree. Obviously, this one, not so much. This is about what we would expect from the Vegas Golden Knights and the Minnesota Wild. Both teams pretty solid defensively. Golden Knights had more creative chances in the offensive zone. Did a good job holding on to pucks. Had the puck a lot tonight. And worked really hard to create the chances that they did have. Now, Kaprizov, he's a special player. He made some special plays for the Golden Knights moving forward. You got to try to find a way to slow him down. But top to bottom, game one, not bad from the Vegas Golden Knights as they look to, again, kind of ratchet up their play and dial down the impact that a Kirill Kaprizov can have on this series. We'll take a break, wrap it up next on the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights take game one over the Minnesota Wild. Look to keep the winning ways going on Tuesday, 8 p.m. puck drop against Minnesota. It's all right. It's an 8 p.m. puck drop inside T-Mobile Arena for game number two. Pre-game show will go at 7 p.m. in that one. And overall, nice opening game for the Vegas Golden Knights. Defended well. You got enough scoring. You got two power play goals. Brett Howden, a pair of goals. Pavel Dorofeev, an absolute rocket on the power play. And Tomas Hertl is out there making elite plays, elite plays. So I liked everything from the Golden Knights for the most part, top to bottom. I thought all four lines contributed in a nice way. And so now it's all about the adjustments on the Minnesota side. It's all about the adjustments for the Vegas Golden Knights. As you now know, you've got a game, a body of work, so to speak. And I'll be interested to see what differences there are going into and coming out of game number two. It's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It's your postgame show. It's not as much fun without your calls, your texts, and your input until Tuesday. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.